We will call the meeting to order. Is there any public discussion of items not on the agenda? Guessing not. We'll consider the minutes from June 6th meeting.
Move that we accept the minutes from the June 6th meeting.
Second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Great. All right. On to item number four, College Green stair painting.
Awesome. So I can just like talk about the project for a little bit first, and then you can hear from the artist, Kimber. So I'm a Green Iowa AmeriCorps member serving a summer service term at the City of Iowa City Office of Climate Action and Climate Outreach and Action, right down there. And for my summer professional development project, which was a requirement of the program, I saw the steps here in College Green Park, right across the street, were in need of a little help. A few weeks into my program in June, I was walking by and I noticed that you could barely see the original design. And I did some research and learned that it was last done in 2017. So I thought this would be a great thing to revamp. And then after some back and forth and figuring things out, we were able to work it out so that if we got a PS1 artist, we could move forward with a new design. And then luckily we were able to find Kimber, who's the art gardener from PS1. And she came up with two great design options, and I'll let her talk more about this.
Thanks, Matisse. Hi, I'm Kimber. It's good to see everybody here. So there was two that we submitted, but really, truly, we want to do the waterfall one specifically. And part of the reason, or the main reason, is because it's going to be a very simple design that the community can be involved in. So it's like my buddy Creech, who you all might know, and that's why it's called Creech Sunshiny Waterfall. He told me that he had always wanted to see a waterfall coming down the steps, and so I was like, oh my gosh, totally. So for all the people that show up going to do the structure of a waterfall and like the stones and vines, but then even down to like the little kid, somebody, they can do a flower or a butterfly or an insect. So just the idea, like, you can't get more community oriented than that. And visually, I mean, who doesn't want to see some color in that, like spilling down the steps? We decided to use Blick acrylic because when I went in to talk to them about mural paint, my buddy that works there said the rainbow artist that went before, the clear back in 2017, used Blick brand acrylic. And yes, oil-based would stay longer, but this is a community involved creating, and we don't need children working with oil paints and getting them themselves, even grown-ups. Plus, if oil paint spilling in the grass, things like that, environmentally, since we are working with, you know, Green Iowa, it makes a lot more sense to use acrylic. And yes, it's not going to last for years and years and years and years, but that's actually a good thing, because why not rotate it out so that way other people have a chance to have fun with the steps and create something else. And that's the proposal.
Feel free to ask us questions you have for either of us, too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, those are the two different.
Oh, yeah.
And for the waterfall one, you were saying, too, were you thinking of adding like a little rainbow on the side to pay homage to the original design, too, as one of the little, so like you can see the rocks and the flowers, like little toads kind of thing. So a rainbow on the side there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Julie, do you have any thoughts being it's in the park?
No, I know that he's been working with Tyler, and Tyler's comfortable with either one. So
Tyler sent a team to power wash it too just a couple days ago, so it's all prepped for the painting.
So it'll absorb more paint.
Yes.
Yeah, Tyler is my park superintendent, for those that don't know who he is, sorry.
And it's you're only proposing on the vertical risers, right?
Yes, much only on the front, because obviously for people stepping down, it can mess with your visual peripheral vision and stuff, plus the idea of it being slickery. So the perspective that you're seeing is just the front of the steps. And then also how it's spilling down at the bottom. we know that it couldn't be solid paint coming out of there because, again, of slickeriness, but just like the lightest implied wave going out a wee bit.
So do we have a protocol for how to have the community participation for something like this? Or?
So Climate Action Department in particular has experience with doing community painted murals. They've done one on our resource management building. Is that what it's called? Resource management building. And then I'm thinking another, but that's the one that comes to mind. So they have experience coordinating the volunteers. Okay. What's important that we always ask is that, you know, there's an experienced artist who's present to just oversee the entire process, help direct the volunteers, and then most of the time after the painting's done, they might have to go in and do some touch-ups and fixes here and there.
And I've worked with hundreds, probably thousands of people at this point in my lifetime, not just with Public Space One, but this is what I do as a community artist activist. Mm-hmm. So
we also have, we have a sign-up genius that's going out. We have about 20 people signed up to volunteer as of now. A lot of, at least three different families with like teenage tween kids also signed up, so that's great. Mm-hmm. I really focused on the advertising in the neighborhood right around, because my goal was to make it like people in the area, including college students, because they're often left out of being part of the community there, even though they're the ones that use the park the most. So getting those kinds of volunteers to help. So it's like by the people that live there, for the people that live there. And then also my stepmom is Rachel Arnone. She's the art teacher at Southeast. Mm-hmm. She's also going to be helping to paint and oversee with the two of us as well.
What is the date that you've got selected for the painting?
This Sunday.
This Sunday, great.
10 to 2, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
And funding-wise, it's not coming out of our budget. It's out of the...
Yeah, it's out of our budget.
So it's just kind of getting approval.
Not necessarily. So Climate Action, so it was kind of an unfunded project to start, but Climate Action is going to kick in the funding for the paint and supplies, and then we would recommend a stipend for the artist as well. I know that's been a priority that, you know, we support those artists. So I don't remember if I had a staff memo in there, but I think $500 stipend is what we recommended.
From our budget.
I agree. I like the waterfall the best, and I love the idea of people being invited to add with different insects and wildlife, and you know, real or imagined.
Yeah.
And that seems like a real level of conversation and and a way for people to match their abilities appropriately.
Exactly.
So I would be in favor of it. Can I make a motion to approve the waterfall as proposed?
Second.
Any other discussion?
I just want to bring up the process that we went through on this project got a little weird, right? We all got messaging to us from Rachel in regards to support of the project. You know, this project I think originally was a matching grant project, so you know it went through a call from this group to get this installed. At that time, it was a little controversial. There was actually some folks that weren't on the committee that weren't in favor of doing a mural here just because they didn't feel the longevity of it would be very well, and which is true, right? I mean, it's pretty much, it was gone within the first couple of years. I'm not against the project, but the process that we went through to get to this point just is not normal for the way the PAC operates. And so I just wanted to point that out.
So should this, would you recommend, Ron, that this be sort of flagged as even Kimberly was saying, as an ongoing sort of public space that is open periodically for proposals? Because the longevity of doing this outside, you know, the previous piece was what, 7 years it lasted? But it didn't last that long.
It didn't last that long, yeah.
And with these materials, it could be a similar duration. Although if these are Blix acrylic, depending on if it's in straights, depending on where it is, like you know, that can last a decade mm-hmm. if done correctly.
It lasted, the rainbow lasted quite a long time for it being acrylics, for sure. And the reason the waterfall was something that I was advocating for is through wear and tear, when bits come out, the waterfall is still going right. to look like what it is for longer than if you were to do another nature type of scene. So.
And this piece reminds me a lot of the tunnel that Rachel's yes. students are involved in at Southwest.
So
it seems sort of like a similar thing that could sort of be on a rotating basis and re-looked at, and where proposals could be just brought instead of always doing a call, that people might be able to use this space in a much more, I guess, engaged way.
But also, I mean, in relation to the weirdness of the process, that relates to our agenda item number 6, where we're going to try to standardize the process for handling public art project requests that aren't initiated by us. So.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, part of that is just how media is in the world, and how someone says something and people believe it, and then all of a sudden there's a snowball effect, you know, because it's like, I didn't even know what anyone was talking. I was like, what? What did I not approve?
Okay. I guess we have a motion on the floor, so yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Good luck on Sunday.
Thanks, y'all. Appreciate your time and energy.
Thank you.
And come and check things out if you want to.
If anyone, it's open on Sunday to the public from 10 to 2, and people can show up for however long or short they want. So,
thank you. All right. Moving on to item 5, condition assessment.
Yeah, so I will introduce this item, but Andrea and Julie helped me review quotes that we got, so I would invite them as well to speak to the process and what our discussion was about, if they would like. Let's see. So earlier this year, when we set priorities for the FY25 budget, we talked about prioritizing maintenance of our public art pieces, and discussed, you know, having a professional conservator come in and actually do a real condition assessment of our inventory. As far as I can find, maybe others of you know, that's never been done professionally. We have, you know, staff has done it and documented issues and taken photos, but we've never had an expert really take a look and let us know what it would take to bring some of these pieces up to date, and also, you know, what those costs would be, and that kind of thing. So I reached out, I got some recommendations from the Iowa Arts Council of any firms in kind of our region who did this kind of work. I was provided 3 different firms that were recommended, and so I'd got kind of informal quotes from each of them, spoke with each of them about what kind of service they offer, and then Andrea and Julie had volunteered to be on a subcommittee to help me take a look at those. So we reviewed and determined that the Midwest Arts Conservation Center was probably most aligned with what we felt like we wanted out of this process. Their cost is $18,650, but that gets us 2 to 3 days of them on site, going around to all of the pieces with both professional objects and professional paintings conservator. They'll prepare a condition report for each piece that includes site recommendations. So that's things like, you know, if there's anything that needs to be done with the site where the piece is located, the current condition assessment, treatment recommendations, and then maintenance recommendations. And then they'll also provide a priority ranking for all of the pieces, so we know kind of what's most in need. So I attached a sample survey form in your agenda packet. They do also offer training in the future. They do also do restoration work. So they said, you know, they're happy to talk about either of those options in the future. However, they often work with many organizations like ours who have very small budgets. So they understand, you know, if we work with a local person to restore the work, they're still happy to weigh in and provide advice or consultation even once our report is done. So if we go with Midwest Arts Conservation Center, which is MAC for short, they said they may be able to get us in this fall yet, otherwise guaranteed that they could get us in the spring. They do work with both the Stanley Art Museum. I talked to Leslie over there, and she said she's very impressed with their work. She said they are expensive, so you know they're careful about the type of pieces that they need to work with them on. However, we did talk about, you know, if there ever was a very complicated restoration project that we needed to do here, maybe we can coordinate and split those travel costs or something like that. And then they also work with the Greater Des Moines Public Art Foundation, so they have a lot of experience with their collection. You all are kind of in agreement with this recommendation, I would recommend we use that full $15,000 we had set aside for maintenance, and then also take $3,650 from that opportunity fund line. So that would mean that this year, kind of our maintenance priority would be to get the condition assessment done, and then we probably wouldn't be able to do any maintenance of pieces themselves until next year. Happy to answer questions, or if the other twos have something they want to share.
If they can't do this until spring, do we lose any funds that would be in the 24 budget?
We're in fiscal year 25 right now, and that will end June 30th. Yeah. So we'll be, should be good timing no matter what. Okay.
I think they sound really good, and I'm really glad that they're working with this Stanley, and I think that the opportunity to sort of be synergistic with the university and the Stanley and in this project is beneficial rather than bringing in another person, and it just seems like we can partner better. So I could make a motion to approve the expenditures to move forward with MACC to look at our restoration needs and make a proposal.
Anita, you're on fire today.
I know.
Right now.
Second that.
I will second that motion.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thanks for, good find, and seems like a great consultant. Thanks for doing that homework. All right. So, item six is discussing the staff recommendation for handling public art project requests.
Just do have, is it MACC or
it did look like there is
AAC. I'm confused.
Did I put the wrong?
Yeah,
it's MACC, so I have an incorrect acronym in there.
But then given that it's always PAAC.
Yeah. Okay, I always think we have full agendas and then you guys just fly through this. So moving on to our next item. As we saw kind of with this College Green proposal, and then as Ron knows, I've been getting many other requests from different neighborhoods and groups in the community who would like to do public art projects. It's always a wide variety of if they're on public or private property, if they have funding or if they need funding, if they, you know, generally have a process in place or need assistance with that. But in general, it's been a little challenging for me as a staff member to kind of fairly respond to all of those inquiries, just because we don't always necessarily have a process in place for those. I took a look back at the public art management plan, and there's kind of five public art programs that are outlined in that, which is the community initiated public art program. So theoretically, these type of requests would fall in that bucket, but it requires submission of an application, which I did not find one exists, and there's not really a process right now for it. Our neighborhood public art program, which we have kind of been doing, you know, we're working with the South District Bench Project. We are planning on the Lucas Farms Neighborhood Project. But again, I know I've heard feedback from members that there could be some improvements to that process as well, and just make it a little clearer and the process a little more defined. We also don't publicize that program because we don't have a clear process, so that could be an equity issue for some neighborhoods who maybe aren't as connected or in the know. We have a recognition of art in public spaces program, which again, I think is fairly simple, just would need to be publicized. Our public art matching funds, we do a great job with, and then there's a performance art grant program also listed. So as I looked at all of those and considered the type of requests that I get, I just wanted to kind of recommend a few different steps. So first, for the community-initiated public art program, I would like to kind of develop an application form, make that information available online so people know about it and there's a process. We may need to kind of differentiate between applications requesting funding, those not requesting funding, and then I think as a committee we need to decide, you know, how we'll make those decisions. That may also come down to differentiating it between a temporary, as this College Green Steps project was pitched to us as, or as a permanent project. Because ultimately, one of the considerations that I go through when we get these inquiries is that if there's public art placed on public property, it kind of by default becomes our responsibility. And, you know, people would look to us to maintain that or replace it. So those are the type of questions we kind of need to think through on this first one. So that, go ahead, Julie.
So I would say on the first one, the other important part about this, and I feel like we've had discussions about this, is that if it's going to be in a park or in a right-of-way or a bus stop, the first step needs to be city staff involvement before it would even come to the public art committee, because we've run across that in the past too, where they've come to the public art committee and said this would be a great idea, but without consulting the actual department that would manage the space or the area. And it's kind of coming crosshairs with that. So I would just want to make sure that we have, similar to what we did with the matching grant, before they apply, they need to have a sign off from whomever department head it would be involved with if it's on public property or public space.
Yeah, great point. Definitely.
And go ahead. We could have two different spaces, one where, like, this project, existing places where art exists but is temporal, that people could ask to do something with, and then, like you're saying, the more permanent places that need prior approval and to even use the space.
Yeah,
but I think we'd want that even if it's temporary.
Yes.
We would still want approval from whoever is the controlling person, right? I mean, so I think if it's going to be, you know, in a park or on a public right of way or wherever, the director of that group needs to be the one approving that before. But yeah,
they approve the location,
maybe, yeah. Concept,
and
location, right?
Feasibility.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, the other component with this is, you know, everyone will do things differently, which is fine, and I think that's kind of the beauty of like these grassroots type of public art projects, but it's also an opportunity for us to, you know, provide some of our values publicly so that they know through the process that we do value an artist getting compensated for the work, or we do value, you know, equitable opportunities for different artists and neighborhoods to have art. So also just allows us to kind of clearly communicate those values.
I really liked the idea of revisiting annually with the idea of perhaps alternating when we're, you know, offering, if it's to add funding to something or open up applications, et cetera, but to, I feel like, make our budget more dynamic, potentially. I found that intriguing as well.
Well, yeah, because some of them could have calls,
right,
with deadlines, but others could, maybe smaller ones, could have rolling applications that, you know, like $500 with a, you know, with a match could be just a more of a rolling, and then once that fund is exhausted, it's exhausted. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
No, it does.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, I've been getting request for projects that they're not asking for any funding from us. They're just asking for our permission. So I think, you know, having a process at least to recognize those and consider those as well. Any questions on that one before I move on? We can always circle back to any of them at the end.
No, I think that's a really great initiative, especially for as we're, you know, at the point where we want to create our vision moving forward, that's something I would definitely think to have.
Okay. Well, in the Neighborhood Public Art Program, again, my recommendations are kind of in line with what we've talked about, which is to have a formal application developed, make that available on the website so people know, and then, you know, it would be up to this committee to kind of determine when we'd be accepting applications or not, just so people kind of understand and we know for our budget so we can plan ahead.
I'm super excited about an online application for this and sort of figuring this one out a little more than it has been. I'm thrilled at the idea. Yay, Rachel.
Could I just ask, comparing sort of this program to the one previous, what is it about this program that makes it something that isn't just a more narrow iteration of the first one?
Sure. Did you want to say something first? Okay. I'll say that I don't think that it's more narrow, the Neighborhood Public Art Program. I think in the past, some of the public, again, those of you with more history than I, some of the neighborhood art projects have developed just because there's a very well-connected, well-organized neighborhood association. We now have a neighborhood coordinator who is very active, and she's gotten many new areas of town kind of engaged and organized. So there's probably new opportunities for these type of neighborhoods to have access to a public art project like this, but right now they don't know about it because Gotcha. It's only for those in the know.
I guess a more to the point version of my question would be, what would stop people, a neighborhood that wanted to do an art installation of some kind in their neighborhood, from just using the first version of this application process?
Oh, sure. I guess to me, they're differentiated a little bit in kind of the level of assistance, both financial and technical assistance. So usually the first are those smaller projects where it is a neighborhood coming and saying, hey, we have this artist who we want to do a mural in this area. We're ready to go. We just need approval. Maybe a neighborhood public art program is kind of these bigger projects like we're talking about with Lucas Farms or South District, where we have to do a call. It's a very high dollar project. It'll be, you know, become a capitalized asset that we then maintain. So those kinds of things.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's no reason that they can't both exist. I'm just trying to think of it from the perspective of, like, these programs both exist in the future, and someone's looking at the site and trying to decide which one is appropriate for their project.
It is a good question, because you get all these different requests, and you have different pathways that they could take, right? The matching grant program or this neighborhood art program. So you kind of, sometimes it just comes down to evaluating the project on a case-by-case basis and figuring out kind of where it makes sense. But if others have ideas.
It might be that if the project is being proposed in a neighborhood that has a neighborhood association that is active with us, to me, I think it should go through the neighborhood public art program so they have the buy-in for that particular neighborhood. Maybe that's the differentiation, whether it gets funding or not. Because we've got some pretty strong neighborhood associations that have strong viewpoints about, you know, what goes in their areas. So that might be the difference, is that if it's in one of those established neighborhood associations, they have a role in the project versus the others are more ad hoc in other areas, just as a potential.
Yeah, that's a good thought, that maybe that's just another layer to add on to the Neighborhood Public Art Program, like, application process, is that engagement with, like, make sure you're neighborhood association is represented. And
would we be worried, though, about that sort of promoting some NIMBYism from certain people, if they're objecting to the public art just because they don't like it personally, rather than that obviously taste is a part of what we do here, but
that's sort of for the neighborhood association to figure out, right?
Yeah,
if they figure that out and then apply.
So I guess it sounds like maybe the difference is that A would come from either an individual or a group within the city, but then B would have to come from a neighborhood association themselves. Does that sound sort of the difference between the two?
I mean, I think that's kind of, yes. I mean, I would totally agree with, I think that that is traditionally how the neighborhood public art program has been, in one sense of staff member has approached a member who is very active in a very strong neighborhood association to approaching them with, hey, we have funds. Would you want to get together a project? So, I mean, historically that, from my time on the committee, which is, I think, totally overlapped with yours, you know, that's how it's kind of worked. It's gone, it just has gone through a neighborhood association member.
So isn't it sort of like the neighborhood public art program is something where there's more of a call and it's considered more of a permanent and organized piece, whereas the community initiates, somebody from the community would come and ask to do a public art program. Okay. Like, to me, that's a big difference. Like, we've slotted some neighborhoods where we feel like, yes, there has to be a bus, something, you know, to signify that there's buses or a bus shelter or something like that, or community something. And that would be the neighborhood public art program.
In the first page that Rachel had up, the neighborhood public art program allows for neighborhood associations to submit a public art project proposal. So, you know, for the neighborhood public art, it has to come from the actual neighborhood association.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And just also to add to that, I think by separating them and having a separate budget line item for neighborhood public art, that, you know, allows the neighborhood coordinator to point that out to neighborhood associations and encourage them to do something. If it was just like part of the first one, it would be a little less defined and, you know.
I agree. And it's going to really, all this can be really managed well on a website where, you know, somebody's looking for funding, they hit funding and, you know, they have a little menu with a little blurb and they hit and they see, oh, that one doesn't fit my project. Oh, this one does fit my project. And now I have to, and all of them should have, like you're saying, like some of them would have all the same criteria of have, you know, that this must be discussed with someone from the city, you know, prior to actually submitting and then having that information, I guess, available.
And I think with any of these, you all should feel like you still have the agency to establish, to be proactive and not just wait for projects to come to you. But if there's areas in the community that you really think, you know, through our equity analysis that are lacking, we can list that as a preference or something. So just keep that in mind too, is we don't always have to just wait for the projects to come to us. But you have the ability to kind of make your priorities clear and ask that of the community too. And then the last one, the performance art grant program. So I think that was, I'm not sure why it was listed in the strategic plan specifically, because I think it's only been offered once.
So it feels like it was more of just, or at least, the only thing that's coming to mind for me is consciousness raising, and that's not the term I want, but of just being able to say, hey, performance art is public art. It's not necessarily just a mural or what we think of as public art. I feel like in 2018 when we were working on that, that felt really important to make sure that we had a really capacious definition of public art. But it's only been offered once, and it doesn't feel like it's an issue per se when our public matching grant. Like, we don't not fund public or performance art or things like that, so it feels like a
But do you want to divide them, like to have a category where there's performance, there's
just lump
visual,
the
there's
one.
Video, like whatever, into different areas in order to?
I think what I was recommending in the memo was, so you still have your matching grant program. I think Andrea's right. We've been funding performance art through those. We've been getting great diversity of applications through that grant program. But since performance art was a priority at one point for the committee, clearly because it was in the strategic plan, you know, that raises the question of what other priorities will come, and can we just offer ourselves more flexibility to just make that generally a grant, some sort of kind of grant.
So like a priority art grant program?
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to say that. You can just say other grant programs if you'd like. And then, you know, each year as you're setting budget priorities, you can decide, hey, there's this priority that maybe we should develop a grant program for. Or, hey, this year, why don't we double our matching grant funds or put it into one of these other programs? So I think it's just helping to kind of make it more clear through our written policies what type of programs this committee works on and invests in. And then, you know, you just have the flexibility within that to decide year to year where you want to go.
So like this year, it could be restoration of existing art we would have listed. And then maybe even different people could come and say, oh, you know, we've noticed this piece is not holding up. Is this one of the pieces you could look at to consider for this? Like that?
Maybe. However, we do not have enough budget funds to offer all of these programs every year. So.
I know. That's what I mean. Like this year, we are kind of doing a little bit because we did, you know, last year we did prioritize. Yeah. Let's, before we get more art, let's fix and maintain what we have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it sort of took other things, you know, lessened other things in order to be able to do that. And so that would actually be a way of letting people know, you know, what we are, what has been prioritized this year was this other art grant program, which is maintenance and.
And I sort of like the idea of not, of perhaps keeping things with the matching grant program, but then maybe it is that, hi, we're sitting down to talk about our budget. Here's maybe what we've noticed over the past couple of cycles. We've been funding a lot of this. Maybe we really want to say, you know, encourage X or whatever.
Or even if we wanted to do a major collaboration with the Stanley and PS1 to bring a large, you know, notary public piece to Iowa City, that could be in that area too, right?
Yeah.
Like if we just decided, well, let's try to invest in one big piece for something or some reason.
I like that idea. This is getting way ahead in like ideas, but I was thinking, you know, some year, what if we had a call for works that would activate the Iowa River? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that would be really cool.
Yeah.
So would incidental art grant program be better than performance? Because it's kind of, performance is just kind of talking about one specific type of art.
And I do want to ask you, are we talking about performance art or are we talking about the performing arts? Because I feel like performance art is a much narrower project or much narrower scope than the performing arts generally.
Which is maybe why we don't want to use that term.
Yeah.
And I think that's super important because when I see, are you talking about Hancher and the Englert or are you talking about,
I say, like, I mean, theater is sort of my primary area of interest. And, like, if I saw performance art, I wouldn't assume that applied to theater.
And I feel like it's gone kind of both ways, where you have had projects that have been more, I feel like, performance art-based, is how I understand it. And then, but we've also had, you know, was it the Red Cedar Chamber Orchestra, which is a little bit more on maybe more traditional performing arts kind of stuff, and we've funded both. So. Okay. It almost feels like there's no need to necessarily, you know, again, it's too narrow in a way.
I mean, I would just say that, like, from my background working with theaters in the area, most of them, it's never even occurred to any of them that they could apply for money or support from the committee here.
Sure, sure.
It just wasn't even on the table as far as awareness. So that could certainly be something we could do better at.
Well, and that would be the matching grant would be real.
Right, yeah, and as far as I'm aware, that was never brought up in any of the discussions I've had in that community either. So.
And I think it's a good time, and I think, I feel like it's come up before to maybe review our matching grant stuff again, to just go over, like, oh, maybe this hasn't been clear enough, but we could be, you know, we could fund something with the performing arts, right, and to just kind of go over some of that as well.
Rachel, are you suggesting the performance art grant program be generalized to just a other art grant program, but still keep it separate from the first one of community-initiated art programs, so that it would be more, we would be programs initiated by us based on the current year's priority, so
yeah,
it's a third.
To be perfectly candid with you, I mean, what's in this doesn't necessarily, like, it's, you're not bound to just funding these type of things, you know, at the end of the day. we have our public art budget, and we will have a discussion annually about where we want to allocate that funding. So if there's an opportunity or an idea that comes up that's not a neighborhood art project, not a community initiated art project, and not a grant program, you know, I think we've funded things that don't fall in one of those categories in the past, and that's still there. So it's kind of just more so clearing up that section and then establishing these processes.
And I think that clarity and is really important, you know, trying to communicate that and have people understand possibilities and that it is public so that people can generate ideas. And so, yeah, I wonder if instead of performance, I mean, if we could use some other word for that art grant.
I would assume that unless you're actively offering a grant program, we probably wouldn't list it on the webpage anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So, because, you know, the neighborhood art program and the community initiated might be a little different, so people understand that exists, but right now we're not accepting anything. But I think with a grant program, you wouldn't want to establish confusion and just only list that when it's offered.
I think that's wise.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the opportunity fund that's in current or in our current budget line.
Yeah.
It's just for, yeah.
I think what
priorities. Okay.
No. Thank you for laying this out, Rachel, because sometimes it's, we never quite know what we technically have because we usually do certain things. And so it's been really nice to have this laid out. And also, I think what I really liked about this is the idea of, some programs are on and some are just off at times as we want to do things. And I suppose it's just because we've had public art, we have two neighborhood public art programs still in process, and they've been in process for a very long time for various reasons and COVID and whatnot. But of having that a little bit more clear was just was very nice. And with these other programs to see that, to think through how we could be more flexible, or some things are off for a while, other things are on, which feels a little bit to me as a committee to have a little bit more flexibility and a little bit more creativity as a committee. I don't know. But I like the ideas and what we can do. That's all.
But I agree with Rachel, like maybe we should just eliminate number 5 for clarity. And then work towards creating portals with clear instructions of how to apply that then would be given, that we could then, create deadlines or have in rolling basis, or, like you're saying not accepting applications at this time, please check back, at this date, or, whatever those processes would be, so that people understand it. Because I know on my calendar, I will put notes to myself to check certain grants, because I know that they come up pretty annually, and so it's like, oh, it's time to look at, this grant or that grant. And so that's just a courtesy, I think, to people looking for funds rather than like nothing. It's like, please check back in March, or check back in April when we know we usually list things or have things for review. And then if there are things like the community initiative to public art program, if those funds are gone for that year, we can just have, please check back on this, Does that make sense? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is very helpful feedback.
Mm-hmm. So, do we need a motion? Because I'm on fire.
I don't think so. I think wanted general feedback, and it's been really helpful, and as I work through these, as I have time to kind of work through each one, we'll still bring it back and talk about it at the ADAPAC meeting before it goes online or anything. So you'll have more opportunities, but any other comments?
For the community-initiated projects, it might be good to have, I know in the funding section, there's space to add like different funders, but it might be good to have multiple partner sections. So this person is doing the originator, and then they could put PS1 down as a partner, or just to have a little bit more information.
Sure.
Yeah.
Easy.
It would be nice at some point when we would have a meeting where we didn't have a lot on the agenda, where we could just go through and look at some of the, you know, like as we develop these portals and look at that and get feedback. I think that would be helpful.
Yeah, that's the hope. So we'll plan on that.
Yeah.
Great. That's an awesome step forward. I think the transparency of having the online web page and applications is going to be huge. All right, moving on to Lucas Farms Neighborhood Project.
Okay, so as we talked about this one last spring, and you all had kind of gave the green light to this type of project, which would be a collaboration between us, the city, the Lucas Farms Neighborhood Association, and then the Meskwaki Settlement School. They didn't have time to pull the project off at the spring semester when we were talking about it, so wanted to kind of come back to the idea in the fall semester. Just with the timing of when their school year will start and how they'll probably get kids rolling on it right away to try to get it in the fall if they can, I just wanted to kind of bring this contract. This is just a draft agreement, so just bring that before you, put it in the packet so you had a chance to look at it before you would probably approve the contract at some point, but I just wanted to, in order to keep things moving, if they're able to get things up and going this fall, then I wanted to kind of have a general consensus that it looked like what we were thinking and the direction we want to go.
And so the $17,000 is broken down into a budget at some point where we know exactly, you know, materials versus fees versus consults or whatever else might be.
Yeah, so since we'd be working with the school, which is like a little different than working with a private artist, at some point, yes, the contract asked them to provide us their material cost estimates, and then our recommendation would just be after those funds are expended for the material it takes to construct it, the site prep that we may need to do if we have to lay concrete or something like that, then we would donate the rest of those funds to the school to support their business arts and trades classroom, which is what would be working on this project.
So I just had a general question, and it's whatever it is. The concrete base that's referred to, would the city install that, or is that part of the budget for the project? It's, let me see. It's under C, project design, Roman numeral 6, or approximately page 3 of the contract.
Yeah, so we have under the section A of the payment, I think item 2 also asks them to provide a list of any costs associated with site prep and installation.
Okay.
And, you know, if there's anything notable, we may use budget funds for that. We aren't typically charging back staff time or things like that when the teams help out, so.
I was also wondering about the concrete base. I mean, did that come from the school? Because is this going to be like an interactive piece of art, or is this like maybe is this sort of like something that kids might play on and they might want to have different materials?
So some of that came from Parks and Rec. We put in the some of the specifications into this, being that if it was a structure going into the ground, we need to be able to mow around it.
Okay.
It needed to be stable enough. So that's why we specified concrete. We weren't anticipating that this would be a piece of playground type equipment.
Okay.
That's a whole different ballgame for safety and that sort of thing. So that's why we put it in that way, wrote it that way.
If you can remember, you know, in their proposal, they had kind of shown this fence with like metal cut pieces affixed to it, which was kind of their design. So it's not a really extreme, super large piece. It's fairly simple, I think. But you would approve the final design, you would approve the contract. Again, I just want to kind of know I'm moving in the right direction if they reach out to me before our next meeting.
Yeah, it seems really good and well thought out. And Now, but the timeline is for the piece to be completed by the 15th of October?
So this is just a draft, so don't, I wouldn't like look at the timeline or okay. anything like that too carefully. Again, I just wanted to kind of convey the general overall approach. But they stated yes, if they were to pick this up in the fall semester, they could get their designs together, get the students working on it, and probably install, you know, by October. Now, if that's not feasible for staff, then we may have to push that to spring. But
or just November even could be helpful.
I think when the ground freezes is kind of our cutoff, so that's why we try to set it a little earlier.
Do you need a motion? And Anita, if yes, provide.
You don't.
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Thank you. Take it and away. I'm excited that this is going to this is moving
Me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. That's a good development.
See, yeah, now I'm on agenda. No, we have one more thing.
All right. Staff updates.
Okay, I have several staff updates. So first update on our South District Bus Stop Bridge project. Many city departments who are involved in this in various ways were able to meet with the artists at the site last week. So we just kind of discussed exact location and kind of tentative timeline and let the artists know what we needed from them in order to keep this moving forward. So we're getting that exact location hammered out now. Anything you want to add? Okay. And then other than that, they did share some progress photos, which I can share with you. So these are like
so big.
Different pieces.
Wow. That's great.
This is it kind of pieced together. Jeremy shared this photo with me, so thank you. That's kind of what they showed us. They're working at the Kirkwood Regional Center now, but they'll be moving down to one of our old public works facilities soon because they're getting kicked out once school starts. And they let me know that they ordered paint and finishing this week, so it should be moving along.
And so at this point, will they be able to install this in the spring, or is it in the winter, or is it this fall?
We're hoping this fall.
Yeah, I think they're hoping September. As far as install, it's going to depend on staff time availability because we'll be doing some work to pour the concrete base for it.
Wonderful. That's great.
Yep. I think if it comes to it, we need to prioritize one project for installation. You know, I think getting this one done would be great.
Do you know, are they painting both inside and outside?
I don't know.
Do not know the answer to that.
Why would they paint the inside?
Rust.
Or yeah. Just would they put a rust preventative coating?
Yeah, maybe.
I can ask them.
I was curious.
That's a lot of steel.
It looks so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that one's off. Our sculptors. Oops, sorry.
Sweet.
In regard, this will be in Fair Meadows Park is where this is. Okay. I don't know if we ever really knew where the final location was going to be, but this will be Fair Meadows Park along Lakeside Drive.
That was it. Was my neighborhood park as a child, actually. So nice. I'll be excited to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how tall is that?
12 feet.
Somebody will have to do the math. Like, how tall would a person be if their hand was that big?
Okay, moving on to the next one, our sculptors showcase. All 8 new pieces are installed. They look fantastic. We got our webpage updated. We're working on a scavenger hunt for kids this year. Like, if they visit all 8 spots, that to win a little prize. So, just something fun and new, but fairly simple to pull together. And then Jack in Communications is also working on a video. So we'll put a news release out in the next week or two, but that video will probably come later so we can just do social posts and whatnot to keep promoting the pieces. They'll be up for 2 years, so we have lots of opportunities to do so. And then, knowing that we've been kind of having this ongoing conversation about our strategic plan ending at the end of this fiscal year, I think we're doing really great work to kind of work towards updating or refining that like we talked about. So we have our art stakeholder meeting tonight, which will be great feedback from kind of those key art stakeholders. We can do a public survey component at some point, which was similar to what you had done last time. And then I'm hoping that maybe this fall or winter, during a slower period, we can just swap out one of our normal PAC meetings with like a workshop to talk about what we want to see in that updated plan. So that'll be our approach.
Do you need a subcommittee or anything to work on it with you, or are you just kind of taking responsibility for updating it as you get feedback?
I have not updated anything. I've been collecting notes. So maybe at some point, yeah, that would be great when we actually want to update it.
I think that was helpful last time we had a subcommittee. We kind of divvied up the authorship. And
Yeah.
So it's not all on you.
Mm-hmm. It sounds great.
Yeah, when you're ready for that, let us know. Mm-hmm.
And then my last staff update is a bittersweet thank you to Steve. So Steve has been appointed to the Planning and Zoning Commission, so he's going to be resigning. But I wanted to thank him and give you all an opportunity to thank him as well. And
Planning and Zoning, it's going to be so dull. Come on.
Get the budget.
How many years were you on, Steve? Seven?
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, this is my seventh.
So.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It's been really fun working with you all. So.
Thank you.
Really, really strange for me not to see you because I've seen you all the meetings. I've been here. So.
It will be. I assume Planning and Zoning will be a little more dry.
I watched one of the meetings once, and it seemed like a courtroom, honestly, compared to this. But I suppose it has to be.
Yeah.
People don't show. Will they show up with pink hair?
I know. That was great.
You're the fun. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank
you. And thank you for also continuing with the strategic plan and things like that.
Yeah.
Because you are going to that meeting tonight.
Yeah. I wanted to.
He's working hard up till the end.
Yeah. This is your last meeting, though?
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we'll just have you on speed dial.
Yeah, maybe I'll just sit here.
Hey, nice.
Heckle you.
You could heckle on this. Yeah. Member of the public, please introduce yourself, Steve. And now when we go with zoning requests.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm going to put art here.
Steve is the inn.
Yeah. Talk to Steve. We need a bigger park here. Hmm. Talk to Steve.
Yeah, a lot to learn. So I'm excited, though.
Thanks, yeah. It's great.
I have no other staff updates, so.
No.
Oh. Anita's on fire.
Oh.
I don't know.
I just wanted to prepare you to stay on fire.
Okay.
When it's ready, but I feel like Julie will tell you when it's ready.
Oh.
Do you have any other business?
No other business. I'd like to move to adjourn the meeting.
Wow.
Second.
Ron seconds. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks, everybody. Okay.